Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. This is our special intimate edition. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host while Ewan is off busy. And Patrice is on a holiday, so she won't be joining us today or on the Mac Show tomorrow. And Rich is under the weather. He has a cold. So he is not in a good state to join us today either. But Ian, you are here. And sir, you are a trooper. It is awesome to see.
I'm reliable. I've always been. One of the things I've always been is reliable. So yes, thank you very much. I enjoy my little chats with you and the rest of the gang on a Thursday. So I can't miss it, really.
Yeah, and I know we had to start late because I had to go to the eye doctor today to get my eyes checked and get my new prescription, and so that pushed us a little bit behind. But here we are, and I'm totally okay with it being the two of us today.
Yeah,
because we get to chat, but how often have we had an opportunity, just the two of us, to get to chat?
No, we don't normally. It's normally as the gang, isn't it? Yeah. When we have a 5-minute conversation before the rest of the world arrives. But yeah, no, it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah,
no, no.
So
my own celebrity
dive
moment.
Into shows, before we dive into stories, I just want to let everyone know, holy crap, we did it. We got the funding to keep the Daily News Show going. So today, instead of me saying, well, that's it, it was great while it lasted, I just want to let everyone know this is so awesome and I'm so excited. We managed to get the funding together, and the big show, or excuse me, the new show is sticking around. But we need to make sure that we don't get lax. And just assume that it's okay because we're funded through October. And as long as people keep up payments, donations, then we're good to keep going for a while.
Yeah.
But if people think, one time I'm done and the show will be fine. Well, first, thank you for being so generous and helping out because you absolutely rock and we love you for it. But we need to keep the funding coming in so that we don't have to beg every single month.
Exactly. I mean, think of it as if you enjoy the show, think of it as buying Carl a coffee once a month for enjoying his work every month. If you can do that, that will keep Carl on the air.
Right.
Because we reckon there's maybe 5,000-6,000 of you that enjoy the show every week. If you can chuck a couple of dollars at us, if half of you do that, that keeps him going. And that means we can pay him, we can keep everything going. That's fantastic.
Yes. Yes, it absolutely is. So anyhow, instead of waiting until later in the show to mention that, I was just so excited. I wanted to bring it up right up front and let everyone know. So I'm feeling really good about that. So thank you, everyone. You absolutely rock. All right. So Ian, I would say who has the first story? I've got a really good idea. It's you. And
reader mode. I agree with sticking it on reader mode so it doesn't be annoying. It's quite an interesting story, actually, yeah. One of the largest comets we've ever seen is out of space. It's an unusual one for me. I normally like rockets and other kind of madness, but I thought this was interesting. Picked up on the news this morning. It's a National Geographic article about one of the largest comets ever seen is heading our way. I mean, it's going to take a bit of time to get here. I reckon in some time around 2031, we'll eventually be able to see it in a backyard telescope.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 2.7 billion miles from the sun currently. That's 29 times farther than the Earth. And it's going to take 7 years. It took 7 years already for us to work out where it is. But there's a really good, the article's got a lovely diagram of sort of its trajectory. I mean, it's not going to be one where it's going to start making the planet rock or anything daft, but it is a huge comet by comparison to the other stuff we've seen.
Okay. First off, I love that we have the technology that we can find objects like this and then track them and figure out where they're going. And
93 miles is the comet's nucleus, which is by far the biggest we've seen.
That's really cool. And of course, as we get closer to when it's going to get as close as it will to Earth, which isn't going to be that close.
No.
We'll start seeing news stories pop up sensationalized about massive comet approaching Earth. What I think would be cool is if we could get everything pulled together to launch a robotic mission. Because it's so big, and
by
the nature of its size, it makes it different from any of the of the comets we've studied before.
Yeah, the description here says it's gone from being a city-sized comet to it's been an island-sized comet. So it's genuinely a not like a big speck of dirt in the sky. It really is properly a big lump of whatever it's made up of. You know, it's rock and star stuff, of course. Mm-hmm. But it is fantastically, I mean, fascinatingly here, there's some good stats of kind of at distances and things. And they were saying in the article, where was it? We'll make its closest approach on January 21st, 2031, when it's coming. It's expected to come within about 1 billion miles of the sun. It's slightly farther away than Saturn's average distance. And then it'll be begin its long retreat back into the solar system's outer realms. And it's going to remain visible until the 2040s. So we'll still see the afterburn effectively of that as it goes away, which is, again, I mean, I love the fact that, and also this stuff is we're seeing things that happened and only now the light's reaching us to actually see it because of time, because of all these kind of things.
That's really cool.
Because it's all really, that kind of bends your mind a bit when you realize, but that's already happened about God knows how long ago. It's taken that long for the light to reach me.
Mm-hmm.
Just astonishingly stuff. A dot of light in the dark, yes. That's one of my favorite quotes about a speck of dust, about a speck of dust in the sunbeam, or what it, the cosmos Carl Sagan quote.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the pale blue dot. That was it. My brain went pale blue dot.
Yeah, it's
wonderful sort of imagery.
So I didn't bother to put this into reader mode because why would I bother to actually do something that helps me speak intelligently about the topic, right? So what I can't see is, for what will be visible to us for, which is going to be an extended period of time for a comet, which is really cool. Does it say that we'll actually be able to see a tail?
Backyard you'll be actually able to see it in a backyard telescope. Will you see the tail? Let's see if it did say that. I was scrolling through trying to find that bit. Or whether it will just be a dot of light in the dark. I mean, there's an image on that thing which shows it, which again, there is a dot of light in the dark. Again, it's it's one of those. It features a massive flame. It's like a bit of 200 HD televisions, 10,000 of these dots for like a few pixels wide. Again, it'll be a few pixels wide in the vastness of space.
Okay.
But they use computer code to source to basically do calculations and kind of scan the area to try and figure out where it was and where it was going to be as well, according to the article.
That's really
There's another 817 newfound objects that we don't know what they are yet. One of them with the Pangalactic Council coming to flatten the Earth, make way for the new highway, won't it?
You know, and we have no basis to complain because had we gone down into the cellar, to the door that's locked, and then gone into the cabinet, against the warnings of tigers, and read the documents, we would know. Mm. So that's all on us.
Always has been. Always has been.
Yep.
Always has been. I mean, but that's fascinating. There's another 800 objects. They don't know what they are. Now, I have to click on this now just to see what that is.
And those are only the ones we know about.
Absolutely. Or the ones that got cloaking devices on, if we're going to go full sci-fi.
Right. Speaking of cloaking devices, someone sent me a meme earlier today, and it's a person, and that, you know, they've got their sleeve rolled up so you can you can see the back of their arm, and the caption says, "I'm really loving my new Klingon bird of prey tattoo." There's nothing there.
It's cloaked, obviously. Yeah,
obviously. Yeah, yeah. Totally unrelated to that. And cloaked, my brain train jumped the tracks. I also learned this morning that humans have stripes, but they reflect. Like cats and other animals have stripes, and humans have stripe patterns on their torsos and arms, but they reflect light outside the spectrum that we can see. So like our pets see us with stripes, and that's just normal, but we don't see it because you need to look at your skin under a UV light or some kind of light that will cause the stripes to reflect. So humans have stripes.
Who knew? I'm a zebra.
Yeah. And and there's like six or eight common patterns, and with variation, but there these pattern types, and there's some rare diseases that can actually cause the stripes to become visible. So there are some people that have really interesting patterns, like on their backs and arms, from their stripes, that everyone can see, not just our pets.
That's fascinating. And now in Google's Human Stripes UV, because if you can see an image of it, so I'm fascinated. Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll grab a link and throw it in the chat room so that everyone else can join in the fun. Yeah, so yes, humans are striped animals.
That's fascinating. I mean, it's not in the same way you'd see stripes, but it's as in they're not perfect and they're not like a Frenchman's shirt or anything, you know, it's or a sailor's shirt, depending on where you're from. But that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Who knew? I mean, it's like that. There was this image that was published. It was a Facebooky thing, but it's one of these ones an artist had done where it's a black and white photo. And again, it's sort of the cleverness of eyes and your brain. And grids were drawn over the characters with the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Not full grid. It was literally a millimeter line on a bigger image. So you couldn't see, so if you looked up close, it was a black and white image. But when you hold the image at arm's length and your eyes do the thing of, well, there's color there, your brain fills in the gaps and makes it color in the same way that, because it's the same principle that dots on the screen turn us into color, don't they? We have all the colors in the old, in your good old Logie Bear cathode ray tube and all that kind of stuff. And it's that same idea, isn't it? It's that same method of technology to make it work. Wim Rider said he posted one. Yeah, they're fascinating, Wim Rider, those images. Really fascinating. I only saw one sort of it pop up in a Facebook thing.
And Wim Rider, I am not surprised in the slightest that you were way ahead of us on this. The fact that I can get up every day and find my way back to my own kitchen to make a cup of tea, I figure I'm doing pretty good there. Yeah. So anyhow, humans are striped.
Yeah, who knew?
Well, apparently some doctors and at least one journalist, because you found the article.
That's that. I'm just trying. Oh, there we go. Petapix. I'm just trying to find it there. Then that's in fact the image. This is the one that I saw the other day. There's the image of that thing where that image is not color.
I love these where they do the grids on the black and white photos, and then your brain creates the color.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yes. I mean, it's slightly sort of on the yellow girl's t-shirt, but the green ones are the background. you're completely convinced they're green until you zoom out and zoom back in again.
Yeah, and
to actually see the image, you know, it's
and the blue ones too. Yes.
Oh, the blue ones too. Yeah, the blue ones equally are. You're right. I suppose the colors are closer, aren't they? So your brain it's easier for your brain to be fooled. Yeah. The red one's less convincing.
All right. So instead of like reading through this whole thing, I am going to just speculate and wonder if the process that works in our brain to let us extrapolate the color is similar to the algorithms that we use to create color photographs from digital cameras, because digital cameras don't capture color. They capture light and dark, and then they have these filters that they use to filter everything into red, green, and blue, essentially, and then it reconstructs what the colors ought to be from this light and dark image run through filters. And for those of you that are really into digital photography technology, yes, I know that I just simplified it dramatically, but that's okay for this show. But anyhow, that's really cool.
It is. It's a fascinating little bit of thing. And it says this is not exactly the same way as JPEG compression works. So that uses a lower compression cut. But for the mind is the illusion of we're filling in. The mind's eye is filling in. Same principle that chroma subsampling does. And if you want to play with the idea yourself, get a black and white photo, download a copy of GIMP. You can do it in GIMP. You know, the free image editing application will do it for you. And it should be in it now because this article's from 2019. So that'll be around. And there's an option in there called color assimilation grid. That was all my teeth getting all wrong, right round.
All right. Well, now you know what I'm going to be doing later on today.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Again, it's the same principle. I wonder if it's the same principle. But again, it's what made me think of that. You're talking about the stripes, how we can't see them because of the frequency, the UV things. It's I guess it's thoughts in the same kind of idea. You know, in terms of the brain doing some of the work, in terms of thinking about no, it shouldn't look like that, so it doesn't. Because your brain does do that. It shouldn't look like that, so it doesn't. We just fill in the gaps.
Yeah, it is so easy to trick our brains. Just like stunningly simple. And
Windwriter,
thank you for the video. And for those of you that are watching or listening later in the chat room, Windwriter dropped a YouTube video that shows how Android phone is the Vivo X70 is working as a camera, and I've just started watching it, so I can't
officially
say, "Oh my God, this is really cool!" How it's doing what it's doing. But I assume that by the time I finish watching it, which I won't do right now, I will be saying that. So anyhow, there's a link in the chat that Windwriter dropped in, and everyone go watch it. All right. Well, since we have completely left the tracks, the rails, and the county that the rails are in,
we're going to drop off the cliff in a minute, mate. We are.
New story.
We could jump a shark. I mean, there we're doing everything, then, won't we?
We could jump the shark, and I did live through watching that episode, and
indeed,
and Happy Days most definitely did jump the shark when they jumped the shark.
That was the origin of that very word.
Yep. Okay. So here's my story. Amazon announced this week their own personal robot called Astro. And and I get why they went with Astro, because the shape of it, it it very vaguely resembles a dog.
Yeah.
You know, with the body and then a display, flat display as like a head and face.
Which is like someone's nailed an Android tablet to it.
Yeah.
That's it looks like a Hoover. It looks like a Hoover. Someone's nailed an Android tablet to. I'll not be beating around the bush. It is. It's Hoover that someone's nailed a. It's a vacuum with a. That's a shame. That could have been a clever looking device, but no.
It's
$1,000.
It's $1,000, and you have to get on a wait list to get it. So on the surface, this does look really interesting because it's a robot that can operate autonomously enough that, you know, it can learn the layout of where you live. It can learn the people that live with you. It knows where you put its charger base so it can go in and juice itself up. It can patrol your house for you if you want. And built into the neck that holds its display face, it has a telescoping camera that comes up and out. So it can see things and let you see things that would otherwise be too high for its body cameras. So it responds to voice commands, and it can like follow you around when you tell it to. It'll act as like a mobile video chat thing. It has a beer bottle holder built into its back.
Yeah, I saw it had a cup holder, but you Americans always want cup holders on things.
I don't know what our fetish is with cup holders.
What's everything have to have cup holders on? Can you not go that long without a drink? That one has to follow you around the house to make sure you're always hydrated or caffeinated? I don't know. I mean, I know we British love tea, and there's me with my big mug of tea here, but honestly.
I get it. I have wondered about the design of many American cars that I've been in, where it seems like the entire dashboard area is designed not around giving you the instrumentation that you need to be able to drive safely, but to accommodate cup holders that can hold drinks that come in quart size.
The big ones you get cups. in the fast food, the fast food big size ones, those ones that every time a Brit goes to America, is that the small one? Yes, sir.
You know, the facial expression you just made is totally appropriate because I look at those and I'm like, what are we thinking?
And I've always thought, well, now you can have that. Then you go, I'm sitting in a car. And how long are you going to be able to drive for? You have to stop again before you can carry on. When you drink a quart of fizzy drinks, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. Or a quart of coffee, even. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not make any sense.
Be wired on a quart of coffee.
Yeah, I'm with you. It does not make any sense. I don't drink soda pop because I stopped one day because a friend had told me, you know, that's all wasted calories and you're just filling your stomach with acid. And I'm like, oh, you're right. Yeah, I should just stop. And so I did. Mm. And that was almost 20 years ago, maybe 20 really? Years ago now at this point.
Oh, wow.
And that was it. I never went back to drinking soda pop. So the whole thing with the giant cups and cup holders everywhere. I'm with you. I don't get it. And I live in this country. But anyhow, the robot, it has a cup holder built into it because of course it does. The concept of this thing, I find it very fascinating and very interesting. Mm. And at the same time, though, I do have some privacy concerns because this little robot works with an Amazon Ring account, you know, like the Ring doorbell camera thing.
Yeah.
So there have been concerns raised over time about the overall privacy of using Ring camera systems. And so the idea that this isn't just like on the front door looking out at the street, but is able to go through my entire home and follow me anywhere I go. I get why that can be concerning.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, I'm glad to see it still passes the Dalek test. It fails the Dalek test.
Oh, yes. It fails the Dalek test dramatically.
Yes, it can't go upstairs. It can't go up or downstairs. So that's all right. At least you're safe. You can run upstairs and escape from
it. Yes. Yes, you can. So the article that I picked that talks about this, I picked specifically because it also talks about some of the engineers involved in the project that have been speaking out anonymously about the whole thing. And they're saying basically it's a hot mess, that the little robot Astro is unreliable, like especially around stairs, and it will gladly throw itself to its death and tumble down your stairs. And they're also very concerned about privacy with this thing. And Amazon is saying, hey, look, no, we are categorically denying what these people are saying. And the information that they're providing relates to very early prototype models and does not reflect the current state of development for this robot.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you have to get on a waiting list, and it includes a questionnaire where they screen who and who can't be on the list, tells me that Amazon is probably trying to handpick the people that will get these so that the robot will be in the best possible environment for what they've been able to do with it so far.
Oh, yeah. They'll load the cards in favor of them, definitely, in terms of you live in a bungalow, completely flat building, lovely. Yeah, you can have one, no problem at all. You know, and fragile civil devices are broken. Yeah, that's not good for a... And I can imagine there's another comment there that I can imagine if you've got a cat or a dog, they're not going to be impressed with that. Something that's about their level, trundling around the house.
Yeah.
I mean, if people tell about how cats and dogs attack rumbas, it'd be no different one of those.
Yeah, my cat with my... I actually have a D-Bot, which it's like a Roomba. It's a different brand. And my cat initially was really freaked out with it. And now she has a very tenuous tolerance of it. So she doesn't attack it. But when she hears the motor turn on so that it'll start trundling out of its little charger, I mean, she knows that sound and she gets up and she leaves and she'll watch it sometimes.
Suspiciously, no doubt.
Oh, yes. Very suspiciously.
What are you doing? What is that thing doing?
And she'll watch it from a distance. But something like this, I imagine she would have some serious issues with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That said, I would love to get a hold of one of these and test it.
Oh, no, it'd be a fascinating thing to have a mess around with. I agree. I'm still not quite sure we're ready for this sort of thing yet at home.
You've
American houses and the UK houses. Again, our amount of open floor space is a lot smaller than the general US home that I've been in. So, again, it's like the old thing with I always sort of quote the Xbox thing about the first of the wave your arms about Xbox game things that didn't really work very well in the UK because they were designed for US front rooms, which are so much bigger. So you have more room to wave your arms about and work with them. And it's kind of the same thing. That looks great, but in my little house, that won't work that well, I don't think. Roomba might work in a single room, you know, a bimbling back and forth to Hoover, but.
Yeah, for me, well, my place, I think, is more in line with UK and European sizes. And my place was built in 1903. So it was before the United States started supersizing everything. So it would probably do okay in my place until it got to the stairs that go down to my front door, in which case it would throw itself to its death. But still, I would love to test this. But okay, you said something that I think is actually really good observation. Are we ready for something like this?
I think we are. I really don't.
And well, I think if we could have a companion robot that was able to assist with things that need to be done around the house, and that could interact with us in a more human-like way, I think that would be a really interesting type of robot to have, especially for people that are homebound or have some medical condition or physical condition that prevents them from doing specific things. And there would be something there with them that is infinitely patient and always at the ready to listen and to help out. But something like the Astro and some of these other personal robot products that have cropped up over the past few years, I don't see them at least yet as really usable devices. They're more of interesting gadgets at this point. But at the same time, if we're not making the interesting gadgets, we're not going to push the technology to the point where we get truly useful assistant robots. So
yeah, you know, we have to start somewhere. You're remembering, you've reminded me of a thing here in the UK where they've just had, I'll put a better link in for it than the one I've just had. We've been watching, all around the world, of course, we've seen the Paralympics and the fantastic stuff that goes on there. We've been enjoying it on the TV at home here. And Toyota's been sponsoring a lot of it in the UK and they've been building a robot. And as part of that, a series of the British athletes have had access. There's been a robot shown where they've been kind of in the same kind of mold, but that looked a lot more acceptable almost. I think it's a genuine thing. I don't think it's just a bit of nonsense they put together for the telly. It's not on general sale, but it's been offered a HSR, the human support robot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more. There we go. Right.
Yeah. Looking at the images in
and hang on, I'll give you something better. Just check out the video. There's the actual advert for the ad that runs.
And looking at the device itself, it's cool, but at the same time, it looks like this clunky, rudimentary device. Yeah. But you have to start somewhere.
Mm. Yeah, I somehow think that when it doesn't quite look so, it looks more like an appliance.
And there's some kind of amusing stuff out. Video, how when the robot is washing the car, it has the disclaimer underneath. It doesn't actually do this.
And there's another bit. You'll see it throw away a Sonos type device and does the playlist for the athlete. And it's doing the washing and then it's doing other stuff and watching the TV with the dog. It's a particularly good little, it's a very nice bit of marketing.
Yep. It's very clever marketing piece.
But that's the kind of thing that I think would probably work. I don't know why I think it would work. And again, there's a nice little bit where it's kind of giving one of the athletes kind of a bit of a sort of helping hand and stuff. And I did enjoy what this advert when it was being shown. It's generally a very, very good bit of marketing, but that's where I think that this kind of tool excels and where it would think it's helping people that are otherwise to just make the normal stages of life more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just those things. It doesn't have to be a thing that means that you can be even more lazy human than you already are, but it could mean at least that you've got a helper there that can actually support you and do some of the things that you find more difficult to do because you're old or because your abilities are different and you've got less arms than you should have or less legs. You know, it's all of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I'm looking forward to the day when this technology has advanced to the point where it's really practical to have robotic assistants like this at home, at work, and imagine what you'd be able to do with technology like this in a healthcare setting.
Oh yeah, completely. There's a lot of the more mundane parts of the healthcare setting where a robot to take some of the mundane work out of it would be very good. But then again, I don't know. I mean, there's an element I worry then when we get to the society where, in comics, I remember years ago, where all the menial work now is done by robots. So that no one's got anything to do and we're all permanently unemployed, living a life of leisure where you can't really because there's no money, you know. And so there's a danger with some of that. I mean, automation I'm all for, but there's a social aspect we can't forget.
My guess is that as technology like this continues to advance and take over jobs that humans are currently doing, that the market for jobs will change because of that. And there will be new jobs that that fill in that void simply because of changes in technology. And an example is, look at the automotive industry. And there's a substantial part of car manufacturing that's done robotically. And so there are a lot of people that don't have the assembly line jobs that they did. Now, some of those people, they were just out of luck because there were no other jobs for them. But then for other people in that group, they found that there were other jobs that were created because of the new robotic assembly lines. So I think the dystopian future where robots do everything and everyone is homeless or without money. And I don't, but we probably have a dystopian future. And when I say that, I think we're actually living in it right now. But I don't think our dystopian future is ultimately going to be related to robots doing jobs that humans were previously doing. Yeah. And the big problem I see with this robot is that if you try to use it in the United States, its gripper hand is not big enough to hold that giant soda cup.
No. That's designed for European sensibilities. There's no cup holders. It'll never catch on.
Right. Yeah. but someone will make an adapter in the United States that hangs around the robot's face thing. And you can put your drink there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we do live in exciting times in some ways, in terms of how the world is changing around us and things that we... I mean, I as I always say, I mean, when something turns up, I'm still missing my jet car and a few other things, but there is so much other stuff. I haven't got my jet car, my flying car or any of those kind of things. But some of the other stuff around the edges, there's some fascinating things that have changed. Computer in my pocket.
Yeah, I've got a supercomputer in your pocket.
Yeah, that's a supercomputer in my pocket. My health needs are relatively, I'm going to live a lot longer than I ever would have done in the last 100 years, you know, and all that kind of thing. All that stuff is great. So I can't, and I can talk to you on the other side of the Atlantic.
Right. Yeah. Today, we're not on the same continent.
And we're not on two different continents. Two guys are having a chat. And
in real time.
In real time. There's no delay.
And people are watching us in real time.
It's even madder, isn't it? And that's even madder as well.
That is. You know, but I don't think it's the technology part that makes it crazy that people are watching. I think it's because it's us. It's crazy that people are watching.
It's crazy people watch us. Yeah. Two daft old men talking about stuff.
And you know, and this is the toned down version because there's only two of us this week.
It's true. Yeah, you only get some level of madness with you and I.
Yeah, and but still, I'd like to point out that even with half the panel gone, we've still been able to at least keep each other entertained and talk about some stuff that I found to be very interesting. So go us.
Yeah, go us indeed. When we've got off on interesting tangents as well, and still vaguely on the same subject of science and computers and technology and all those kind of good things. So,
yeah, and striped people.
Yeah, striped people. Who'd have thought? And then filters for an app and filters for an imaging app. Hey, go us.
All right. Well, hey, This show and all the others is sponsored by TSO Hosts. And that is absolutely awesome because that means that we can have live streams of our intimate panels like this, where it's just two of us instead of four or five or six. And you can watch live while it happens. Seriously, without TSO Hosts, we would not have the bandwidth that we need to be able to bring you quality programming like this, or the Mac Show, which is tomorrow, or the Daily News Show, which is still happening because of all of you. So thank you for that. TSO Hosts also gives us the server space that we need so that we can host all of these files. And that means that you can watch or listen to episodes later on at your leisure. And thank you for everyone that does that. And they even recently upgraded our servers for us. So we have even better servers than we had before. And that was absolutely awesome. And we're not having to pay for this because that's how generous they are. So thank you to TSO Hosts for that. Now, if you need to get a domain name or you need to have some hosting, they can help you out. Use the discount code BTN20 and you'll get a discount on those services, which is also another generous thing that they're doing. So thank you for that. What they're asking of us is that we go to social media and then we tell people on social media that we appreciate TSO Hosts and that we appreciate what they're doing for us. So head over to social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media it is that you love using, and let everyone know that you appreciate TSO Hosts being here for us and sponsoring the British Tech Network. So thank you, TSO Hosts. Also, we are sponsored by iMend Max, and they're absolutely awesome because they will fix all of your Apple gear for you. And instead of simply throwing away logic boards and replacing those just to see if that fixes a problem, they go and find out what's really wrong with your Apple device. And then they replace the component that's wrong. So let's say, for example, that you managed to break a USB port on your MacBook Pro. Well, if you take your computer in to say Apple, because why wouldn't you? I mean, Apple has stores, so you take your computer in. For Apple, it's much more efficient to just replace the whole logic board. And then you have this logic board that potentially becomes waste in a landfill. And what iMend Max will do is replace that damaged component, which means what actually gets thrown away is much smaller than you're going to find at other repair companies. So that's absolutely awesome. They do that. Also, iMend Max has Apple devices that you can buy, and they have equipment that you can lease. So if you have a business, there you go. Head on in and have them take care of that too. And they will do data recovery for you. So they can handle any of your Apple-related technology disasters, and that is totally awesome. And if you mention that you're a BTN fan, they will give you a discount as well. So thank you to iMend Max for being here for us. And I'm going to do another shout out to all of you, everyone that's watching and listening, because you deserve a big shout out. Thank you. Thank you for coming together and making sure that we have the funds to keep the Daily News Show running so that today would not or is not the last day ever for the show. So 13 years running and still going now because of all of you. Yeah, so you absolutely rock.
That really is epic.
Yeah. Let's not get lax and just assume that the money to keep it going is just going to magically be there. We need to make sure that that people remember to set up monthly donations or give more money on a regular basis, whatever works for you. And let's keep that show running. But thank you so much. You absolutely rock. You have no idea how excited I am that the show gets to continue. And I know Kyle's excited and Ewan as well. So thank you to all of you. And if we were all here right now, I would be giving all of you big old hugs. Wow. So, Ian, here's the part that I usually rely on Patrice for. And this is going to be just awful and people are going to laugh at it. Okay. So we have this chat thing that happens in real time. And that's where all the links for everything that we've talked about today is going to be, plus our chit chat with everyone else that's watching live. So the articles that we brought, our news stories, the information about striped humans, robot videos, all of this stuff, and even a link that Windrider dropped in about, what's it say? It's from adweek.com. Super Coffee calls out Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts over sugar in ad. Yeah.
And you can get anyhow, to
so
it.
So that article's in there too. Okay. Mm. So let's see if I can figure out how to find this. So on the British Tech Network website, let's see if I can do this. Let's see if I can find it.
I've found it, but I'll let you have a look first to see if you can find it, because it'll be a good learning experience for you.
Yeah, that's what I need, just another learning experience. Okay, so if I go to britishtechnetwork.com, menu, no, that's not it.
Go to live, scroll down the bottom of live, until you see chat, open chat room. Click on open chat room.
Oh, click on open chat room.
And there it is. That gets you to the chat room. Is that, I'm not sure if that's a historical one, but that's certainly, and that's new. That I've not seen it like that before.
So chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And then you can connect from there. And then the other thing Patrice says is you navigate to the day for today's show, and then you can look at the saved
chat.
The
historical, yeah.
The saved and chat. So today is September 29th. And I would tell you what time it is, but then I'd have to start doing international time zone math. So I'm just going to tell you September 29th, 2021, and you'll find today's chat and all the links for it. And Ian, I am so glad you're here, because I clearly needed support to work through that. Wow. But in the end, Patrice will probably be proud that that we did it. Yeah. Oh, and Windrider points out it's October 1st.
But he's upside down, though. It doesn't count.
It's, well.
Is it the same when you're on your head, Windrider? It's still 1st October. Because you're upside down there.
You know, or are we upside down?
No, he is, because he's on the wrong side. Oh, well, yep. We're upside down to him, I suppose. It's no different.
Yeah. What if the magnetic North Pole is actually the bottom of the planet? And we've been looking at it wrong all this time.
We could have done it all this time.
Right. I mean, it is, when you think about it, very arrogant of us to just simply assume that because we're in the hemisphere we are in, we're on the top half of the planet.
Mm.
Yeah, it's
We
may very well be on the bottom half of the planet, and we've just been jerks about it all this time.
Yeah, it could well be the case. Could well be the case. You never know.
Totally could be the case. Okay, so cool things.
Yeah, I've just chucked a thing in that I discovered today, and I've just been having a little mess with it. I think I may spend some money on it. I didn't know this existed. It's called Flotato.
Oh, okay.
It's one of these little apps that will make basically a web page into a window. It's own controlled, completely. Yeah,
it turns the web page into its own sort of
look and contained app. Window, an app. So you can appify various pages. So it's a handy thing. So you can only have one on the in trial mode. If you download it and have a mess around with it, you can only have one of them open at once. But I opened the one up for YouTube a little while ago and signed in and everything. And you can have either the mobile version or the desktop version. And that seemed quite nice. There's a couple of web pages I use for my work all the time. And I thought, well, let's test that. So I closed out of that and I logged into that. I mean, that is an authenticator and thing, but now I'm in, it makes a window of that particular resource that I need to use. And that's really handy. So I can see that being a dead nice little thing. So I may well spend It's not expensive, $19. Again, it's back to what we said about Carl. You're buying the developer a coffee, buying a sandwich and a coffee for the developer, and it looks like it's quite a nice little. I'm presuming we're using some form of Electron on the back end or whatever to make it work.
I would assume so.
But otherwise, yeah, it seems.
Windrider's pointing out that Unite is another setup app that does a similar thing.
Oh, it's on SetApp, but I have SetApp. So
I've used Unite myself, and I think it might have even been a cool pick at one point. So Unite is really good. And at the same time, I now want to try Flotato and see how it does.
I'm now about to do just that because I'm going to get Unite. And the joys of having SetApp means I can just go, oh, yeah, that's free. I'll have that. Create separate apps over your favorite websites. Yeah, all right, then. I'm in. I'm in. Install that. I'll have a little play with that later on.
All right, so now I'm trying to remember if I had Foundation on Apple TV Plus as my cool thing last week, and I honestly don't remember. In my defense, I typically don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So what I'm hoping is that it was not, in fact, my pick last week, because it is my pick now, and... there we go. I think I just dropped the correct link in. So anyhow, it's on Apple TV Plus, and it's a new series based on Asimov's Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And they dropped the first two episodes last week. And then going forward, it's one episode a week, which is a common thing for Apple to do with their new shows. And I think it's really good.
Okay.
They've obviously put a lot of money into this because the sets, the effects, the costumes, just absolutely beautiful across the board. But beyond that, the characters, they've created characters in such a way that I'm finding them intriguing. And actually, the character that I'm like really liking the most right now is the villain, the emperor of the galaxy, in essence. A wonderfully complex character. But anyhow, it's the stories so far are unfolding in a nice and an intriguing way. And after the first two episodes, I am champing at the bit for episode three so that I can see what happens past the end of episode two. So Foundation, it's really good. You need Apple TV Plus subscription. And Windrider is saying that he has watched the first two episodes. And what do you think, Windrider? Did I nail it? Is this good? I'm asking because I have recently started questioning some of my my tastes in television because I cannot get into Babylon 5 at all.
Really? In the long distant past, I did enjoy it, but I can only say I enjoyed it from the rose tinted glasses of my youth and not really because I know anything about it.
Yeah, well, but the fact that you enjoyed it puts you ahead of me. I've watched the first five, six episodes.
It got better again, it got better as it goes on.
Yeah, and everyone says you have to power through season one and then it gets good. And I'm like, there's so many good shows on television. Why should I have to power through a crappy season of something to be able to enjoy the rest of it? And Windrider says that Foundation is great. So thank you for backing me up on that. And Ewan liked it too.
Mm.
So there you go. All right. Yeah. Wow. So check this out. Not only did we do a show with just the two of us, but we did a show that's still an hour long.
Yeah. Two old fools can talk for an hour about something and make it not to be, hopefully people found this interesting. I do hope you have.
Well, no one in the chat room started begging us to just end the episode.
No, and Wind Rider has been, we've had a third man. We've had a third man anyway. Thank you, Wind Rider, because you've been joining him through most of it with the cut stories.
That's
good,
true.
Man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You, sir, rock.
Indeed.
All right, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here every week because I'm a solid and reliable individual. I will be here in the big show. You'll find me in the Slack. You'll find me in the Slack room when my Slack works. My Slack's gone daft. I will figure this out and mend it. And it could be a UK thing, to be fair, because it seems to be your work. Everybody else's is working. Otherwise, I'm on Facebook, Ian Grant. I'm on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. If you've got something that's convolt backup related, broken, I'm your man.
You rock. Cheers. All right. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamet, both places. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/JayGamet. And on Tuesdays, I'm typically on Mac Voices Live, and Thursdays here on The Big Show, Fridays on The Mac Show. And tonight, US time, this is Thursday, I will be on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. And I get around. I do a lot of shows, so I'm easy to find.
Round, I get around, eh?
That's what they say. Yep. Ian, thank you for being here with me today. So
no problem, mate. Pleasure. Yeah. Enjoyed it. We must kick them all off and do it again.
We will. I tell you what, one of these days when we just don't feel like talking with everyone else, we'll give them the wrong Zoom link.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
And to all of you that are here with us live, thank you for being here. You're absolutely awesome. And I'm so happy that you're a part of the show today. And for everyone that is tuning in later to watch or listen to the recordings, thank you for being a part of this as well. All of you, whether you're here right now or tuning in later, you rock. All of you absolutely rock. Thank you to TSO Host for being our sponsor. Give them a shout out on social media. Thank you to Iman Max for being our sponsor as well. Just show up in their offices and give them hugs. And hug Callum just a little bit too long, so it's just slightly awkward. And then whisper in his ear, this is for Jeff. He'll love it. He will love it. Yeah, and thank you to all of you. And we will see you tomorrow for the Mac Show. And have an awesome weekend.